Our study tonight is out of the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 5 through 18. Catholicism, salvation by Mary versus Hebrews, salvation by Christ. A number of the members of our church have come from Roman Catholic backgrounds, I estimate approximately half, and they often seek support in biblical truth to counter the strong errant indoctrination they experienced in their past. The Epistle to the Hebrews was written to counter the errant traditionalism of first century Judaism that was similar in theological thrust to much of Catholicism. So we study Hebrews for edification in this matter. In fact, the priesthood, especially in the Roman Catholic Church, is built very heavily off of the format of the priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood that was used in the Old Testament. So we view Hebrews chapter 2, verses 5 through 18 on Catholicism, salvation by Mary versus Hebrews, salvation by Christ. I want to read these verses and then we'll look at them. Hebrews 2, verses 5 through 18. For unto the angels has he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things into subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect or complete through sufferings. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto thy brethren, in the midst of the congregation I will sing praise to thee. And again I'll put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God has given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise partook of the same, that through the death he might destroy him that had the power of the death, that is, the devil, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For truly he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is also able to help or come to the rescue of them that are tempted. It's interesting that Roman Catholicism contrasts with the Epistle of Hebrews on the spiritual power to effect salvation. And this is fascinating. The Roman Catholic Church claims that Mary, the mother of Jesus, has the power to effect man's salvation. A lot of Catholics may not know this. It claims of her that all power is given unto thee in heaven and on earth, so that at the command of Mary all obey, even God. And thus God has placed the entire church, or the whole church, under the domination of Mary. This is Lorraine Botner's book. He's an expert on Roman Catholicism, and he cites a saint of the Catholic Church, Bishop Alphonse de Liguori, The Glories of Mary. It was produced by the Redemptorist Fathers in Brooklyn in 1931, pages 180 and 181. The Catholic Church also claims, quote, Mary is also the advocate of the whole human race, for she can do what she wills with God. And then in addition, the Catholic Church asserts that Mary is called the gate of heaven because no one can enter that blessed kingdom without passing through her. Indeed, the Catholic Church claims the way of salvation is open to none otherwise than through Mary. And since our salvation is in the hands of Mary, he who is protected by Mary will be saved. He who is not will be lost. However, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 5 through 18 teaches that Christ has power over all things regarding man's salvation. God initially subjected the world to come not to angels, but he made man a little lower than the angels and set him over the creative works of his hands in Genesis 1:1 through 28. However, man lost that dominion when he sinned, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 20. So we do not yet see all things subjected to man in his current fallen state. Hebrews 2, verse 8. Nevertheless, we do see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, that he might represent the human race to God in his substitutionary death on the cross for man's sin. And he is now crowned with glory and honor for tasting death for every man, what his earthly mother Mary did. Now, this is something when you confront a bishop or an archbishop or a cardinal about, they will admit, Mary didn't die for the sins of the world. Jesus died for the sins of the world. So the redemption that is in Jesus Christ is something that Mary doesn't have access to. And if you press them on it, they'll admit, you know, we shouldn't exalt Mary up there with Jesus, because Jesus is the one who went on the cross. Mary didn't die on the cross. Now, God the Father thus made Jesus and not Mary, through his incarnation and substitutionary death for mankind, the means by which God could bring many spiritual sons of God to glory, making Christ and not Mary the captain of their salvation, perfect through suffering. See, the Lord Jesus Christ has been there. He paid for our sins on the cross, every one of our sins, and for every one of us. And it's interesting that God's going to make him the judge of the human race. And who better to judge than the one who's already paid for the sins in his own body for every sin that has ever been committed on the earth? That's amazing. Christ is man's sanctifier from sin, and those who are sanctified by faith in him, not Mary, are united in a way that Christ is not ashamed to call them his brethren to the glory and to the praise of God. Far beyond Mary's ability or qualifications, Christ partook of flesh and blood that through his death he might destroy the devil, who had the power of death over man by means of Adam's fall, that he might deliver those who through the fear of death were all their lives subject to slavery of that fear. Mary can't redeem us. She can't save us from the power of Satan. She can't release us from that. The only one to do that is Jesus Christ. What a wonderful Lord that we have. And he releases us from the bondage. I'm not saying people are terrified of death. If you confront them with that, I used to work as a chaplain at Baylor Medical Center in Dallas, Texas, and faced a lot of death and birth and whatnot when I went there. And I noticed this when I was talking with unsaved people. If there was someone who was in the process of dying, it was a very frightening experience for them. If it was a relative or a husband or a wife or something, it was just almost overwhelming for them. But as a believer, death is a temporary inconvenience. It's just temporary, because for us, we have eternal life and we're going to have the resurrection. So it's very different for a believer than for a person who's not a believer. Well, in thus not taking on the nature of angels, but being made in the seed of Abraham of the human race, Christ, and not Mary, was made like unto his spiritual brothers, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest for them in relating to God to make reconciliation for the people's sins. Even in the Catholic Church, they don't say that Mary makes reconciliation for sins. They will say that Mary will pray or intercede with God. But the only one who can make reconciliation is the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's based on his blood. And in that Jesus himself suffered being tempted, he's also able to do what Mary cannot do in helping those who are tempted to overcome their temptations. Matthew chapter 2, verse 8. Jesus has been there. He knows what it's like in the temptation to be tempted with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Those are the three realms that Satan uses, which are the world, the lust of the world, to tempt. All of Satan's temptations are in regards to those lusts of the world. But Jesus Christ was there in his temptation. He faced it. He knows what it's like. He can turn to the Father and say, Father, I know what that's like. I know what that believer is going through. I've been there, done that. So Jesus can intercede for us, and he can pray to the Father, and the Father helps us. So though the Roman Catholic Church exalts Mary to the position of having power and authority over the human race to provide salvation by her intercessory work, Hebrews 2, 5 through 18 teaches that Jesus, as God, took upon himself a human body and a nature that he, by his substitutionary death for the human race, might rescue all sinners from sin, including Mary. It's interesting, Mary in her Magnificat referred to God as her Savior, and she admitted she needed salvation. And through his suffering, become a captain of their salvation and the helper for all believers who are tempted to sin. So may we not adopt Catholicism's exaltation of Mary to be man's Savior, but to see Jesus as that Savior. If you were to talk to Mary today, and of course someday we'll be able to talk with Mary, she's a believer, she's in glory. In fact, she was in the upper room when one of those people who was filled with the Spirit of God, they spoke in tongues, Mary and the half-brothers of Jesus were there. She would be appalled at how she's been exalted. She is a dear young woman who gave birth to the Lord Jesus Christ, and she's a believer. And she's a member of the church, a young Jewish woman, and went on to be with the Lord. But one thing about her, if you pay attention to what she says in her Magnificat, she's very humble. She recognized that everybody's going to call her blessed from now on because she was favored of God to be the instrument that God used to bring the Messiah into the world. And she was, she said, "Behold, the slave girl of the Lord." Notice the humility of this woman. She didn't view herself as the queen of heaven at all. She was viewed herself as a servant girl of the Lord. So that's what we need to do. We need to honor Mary because she is the mother of the Lord. And she was a godly woman, not perfect, not sinless, but godly, a dear woman. But she's nevertheless a believer. And Jesus' death on the cross covers her sins, so that she can be saved by faith in Jesus Christ as well.